Ladies and gentlemen, let's just get this show started. Let's go. What up, familia? I am your host, Noan El Boricua, and welcome to your dose of cultura, faith, and conexiones that fuels passion in all that you do every day, with this being our final episode of season one, and really excited to be able to look back on everything that was around Israel, and also like a really unique conversation that we had with a Junior, aka Zombiak. So want to say welcome. Thank you guys for subscribing. Thank you guys for tuning in on this last episode. Truly just an honor to be able to know that we have so many supporters that are willing to take the time just to join us and to be able to share things about cultura, things about our faith, things about just conexiones and understanding the buildup of that, what it is networking, to be able to attain all that you're passionate about through the right tools, that fuel to be able to get you there and beyond, but more importantly, to be able to pay forward, right, and bring someone with you. That intro was none other to be able to bring honor and respect to Chadwick Boseman that played the role of Black Panther on behalf of Marvel. So unfortunately, he passed away. He made a huge battle, and I think one of the beauties of it was that it was one of the most silent, most private, yet he was just someone that just showed so much resilience to be able to give back to the community, to children, to give hope. His faith is just something to be able to look back and say, man, 2020 has been a year of the great ones. But I think that in that, there's been inspiration for many of the children that he visited. For those that don't know, he died of colon cancer, and he actually gave a lot back to the communities to be able to share insight, all the while filming various films, which one of them for me, my favorite, is 42 as a Dodger fan. Para los que saben, for those that know, Jackie Robinson lead role that he played was amazing. That for me was his breakout. But yeah, here we are with another one that has passed away, and we just honor you for all that you've done and prayers for your familia, and hopefully we can get more people of color to be able to go and get tested for any of those things. Please, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, go seek advice, check it out, visit your doctor, schedule an appointment, or if not, reach out to us and we can get you connected. With that being said, this was the first season that we really attempted at Fuel Pasión Podcast to be able to say, okay, how can I be able to share some of my experiences to inspire, to hopefully maybe get some people thinking like, yo, I never really thought about it like that. And I never really looked at it from that perspective. And that's really what the whole goal was. Now, this was something that was very challenging. It was something that I did not really know if I would be able to do. And yes, I do have a background in radio, but you know, I think the difference between podcasts and radio is that you do have music breaks, you also have commercial breaks, and it allows you to kind of gather your thoughts. So for me, I really try to just in one shot sit down and either go all in on an intro, then I would take a break, then I would go all in on the body of work of, you know, with the research and just the guest panelists that we brought on. And then I would take a break and then kind of recap and regather my thoughts and be able to say, okay, how do we close this out to be able to ensure that for myself, as well as for each and every one of you guys, that you guys can walk away really just understanding like, yo, I never really looked at X example, or I never really realized that this example can be applied for me, or I could relate, or maybe not. Maybe you're just like, he's full of it, he doesn't know what he's talking about. All good. We appreciate all perspectives on that. And I think for me, this first season, some of the lessons that I learned was understanding, one, you really need to build out your plan, right? So you know, plan your work and work your plan. It's a saying that I've used many times in teams that I've worked with. And I think for me, that was something that I really need to find, you know, aside from my day job, is saying, okay, how do I find this passion project of being able to share some of my experiences and bring it to each and every one of you guys? So that was like the big part of like, you know, in the beginning of this whole pandemic that really charged me up to say, okay, I think we can do it. We got to plan it out. To shout out to all of the behind the scenes people that have really brought this together. And I'm not going to lie to you, I am in my living room staring at this, you know, as you can say, it's like a portable sound booth thingamajig inside of my little computer desk with a bunch of jackets and pillows around me to try to kill as much sound as I can. But, you know, we do what we got to do. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Israel was really the focus. As many know, I had the opportunity to go back in 2019 with a huge group of leaders from all over the nation. And we had the opportunity, thankful really for Israel Collective for allowing us to be able to come together. It was about, I want to say, 21 to 28 of us. And I keep changing that number. I should really count and figure that out. Nonetheless, we had the opportunity to be able to all meet in New York City, where we got a chance to have a dinner. We gave introductions. We got to meet, kind of network, right, conectar. And after that, we had the opportunity to be able to hear on behalf of Raj, on the behalf of Sammy, as well as Josh. A few of those were our guests throughout the first season for you guys. And also is where I got a chance to meet a lot of new friends, right? And Greg Washington was one of them that was on the show. So what I wanted to do was break this up into a couple segments. It shouldn't be that long of a show, but these are just kind of my thoughts and highlights of season one. And for those that don't know, we will be taking a little bit of a break, and we're really excited, thankful for all of you guys that have given us the feedback through Instagram. If you don't know, Fuel Pasión with one S podcast. That is our Instagram. Please follow us. Let us know. Give us feedback. We tend to throw little surveys out. And we have the opportunity that we finally finalize what I would love to present for you guys. And this will be a team effort again. And I don't want to give too much away, but just know that it has to do with Fuel. And I hope you guys can benefit from this, because I know I have. For those that know, I went through a season of COVID, pneumonia because of the COVID, and there was a lot that happened to me in all of that process, which really has allowed me to just say, you know, gracias a Dios, you know, thankful to God that I'm here alive and well as my family. So Israel was interesting. At JFK, once we were in New York, once we recapped, we head over to the airport. And I think one of the most biggest things that stood out to me was the process of security. And for those that, you know, now just keeping it super transparent and real, I don't know how security is when you go to other countries. But in particular, when going to Israel, there were, you know, I don't know if it's security or I don't know. Someone can help me out with that. All I know is that as we were checking in at the desk or, you know, at the terminals, they would actually ask us these questions of like, why are you going to Israel? What do you do for your job? And I thought it was interesting because for me, when they asked me, I was trying to explain to them that I'm a, you know, working in human resources for my company, is saying like, oh, you know, I'm a talent recruiter here in Los Angeles, California. As soon as I said Los Angeles, the guy that was questioning me for quite a while, I want to say it was easily 5 to almost 10 minutes that we were just going back and forth with all the questions. And as soon as he found out that I was from Los Angeles, he goes, oh, Lakers, go Lakers. And I was just like, oh, man, dude, thank you. Know, I really appreciate sports because sports is truly a universal language, especially the game of basketball. And he's like, oh, LeBron James is very good. And I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan. And, you know, for me, it's Michael Jordan, Kobe. And then we can argue where LeBron will drop into that place. But that's for a whole nother conversation. But it was in the moment that, you know, it was the small talk of saying, you know, hey, we'll see, you know, yada, yada. And sure enough, they were like, okay, have a great trip. Be safe in Israel. Yo, super exciting. Then we had the chance to go to this other part where we, you know, and again, I'm assuming this is like anywhere else. Again, I could be wrong, but we had our shoes scanned. Again, we were questioned. All in all, I was getting really hungry. Shout out to Dunkin' Donuts. They're not sponsoring this, but they were right next to the facility that we were in being questioned. And it was great. Like, we got out. It was smooth. Again, they were wishing us to have a very good time in Israel. And for me, it was really cool because then I got in line, got my, you know, vanilla latte, iced, of course, and a donut, and waited for the flight. The flight took forever. Forever. I want to say it was almost a 12-hour flight. Shout out to my boy Mario for telling me every 4 hours, get up and walk around. That was kind of tough because I did have a family around me that it was like WWE status going on. So I really wanted to respect that space for them. But sure enough, I would get up. I would do some squats, you know, circulate some blood. But I think for me, as we look at, you know, Fuel Pasión podcast, one of the biggest things that I wanted you guys to understand was that my experience in Israel was a moment of cultura. It was a moment of my faith, and it was a moment of conexiones. And we'll get into that, right? And I want to just give you guys just a little bit of a soundbite, and I appreciate you guys for always allowing me to share these videos that I extract the audio just to give you some insight. And let's look at the first moment that I want to just kind of share reflections on, and that is all about the cultura.
But we're not going to talk about cooking. We're going to talk about traditional medicine, about perfumes, and about the evil eye. We're still in the Middle East, after all. As you probably know, in the old temple, in the Jewish temple, they would give out gifts to God, talking about the ancient Jewish temple. You give out the gift by burning it, and when you burn things, it could be quite a stinky business. So with the burning, you add incense, give it a nice scent. The most familiar of the two are myrrh and Frankenstein, or frankincense. Myrrh and Frankenstein. If you've been to church pretty much everywhere in the world at the time of Mass, the priest would walk around with a smoking candle. The smoking candle has myrrh and Frankenstein burnt in it. This is the smell of churches worldwide. It's the resin of the myrrh tree and the resin of the Frankenstein tree, one from Oman, the Persian Peninsula, and the other is from Northern Africa. It has no smell in this form, but once you heat it up, beautiful smelling ether is released. And you know, you guys have Halloween. We Jews have Purim, in which we dress up. And in the scroll that tells us the story of Purim, there is a story of a woman named Esther who meets the king Ahasuerus. And before Esther meets king Ahasuerus, she lays for 6 months in the oil of myrrh in order to have a good first date. You could imagine the first date, what it feels like after being marinated like this for 6 months in the oil of myrrh.
Like the Dead Sea.
Like the Dead Sea, yeah.
Yo, shout out for our tour guide. I was really trying to find his name, and I even texted, and I just could not, you know, get his name. But yo, my dude was all about the cultura. To give you context, he actually gave us a graffiti tour to be able to talk about the cultura of how in Israel, especially in Tel Aviv, you have so many nationalities that actually live within Israel. Again, we've said it before, Israel is like this mosaic of many pieces that come together in this smaller nation. And I thought what was cool is that what in other countries they do with guns and knives, many times, and I'm not trying to take away from some of the hostile moments in Israel, but a lot of the times, you know, they would actually fight with their art, meaning that one of the sayings that the tour guide told us is that the street has eyes and it could tell you so many stories that you will not hear, but then you can be able to see. And I think for me, in looking back during a couple moments of cultura, and even, you know, going back to Pastor Sammy when he shared about the tattoos and one of the oldest tattoo parlor shops in the world, Razouk, right? Shout out to the family and tattoo parlor shop. For me, I just thought, yo, I really, like, I'm just keeping it real. I really thought Israel was just going to be all super holy, kind of a boring nation. It's just history after history, which I'm not taking away anything from that. But I think what really uniquely surprised me was the people and the cultura, along with the traditions and their faith. Really, it was the noises. And if you can hear it, you know, we're in a, like, you know, we're in a spice shop, as you can say, una bodega, right? A bodega for all my East Coast people and, you know, all my Boricua y Dominicano, then all my Caribbean people. You know, it was literally a bodega, and they were selling all kinds of different things. And, you know, their frankincense and the myrrh, like, it was just really cool to be able to see the scientific element that you would have to heat it to be able to get this mixture and the smell. So for me, it was interesting. It was also cool to be able to do like a wine and food tasting all in the streets. We were walking from one area to the next area to be able to just really share and understand these moments and why the tradition of homegrown and being uniquely innovative. And even like, and I know, like I spoke about the hummus to me is still something that I always talk about, because in the olive oil, it was just, there were so many highlights for me that as I look back, I've learned a couple things. One, don't judge a book by its cover. It's a saying that we all know, but it's a fact. It's something that you don't judge it until you hear of it, you see it, and you partake of it. And I had the opportunity to be able to partake of many moments, which then leads me to this other moment that I think about, was the food tasting and the salmon and the fish. I'm not the biggest fish guy. My wife can tell you, you know, really close friends of mine can tell you. But again, in the moment, in understanding our surroundings in that country, I said, okay, like, let me be open-minded and I'll go ahead and give it a try. And I think for me, it was, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I remember our first night we were in Tiberias, and that was where I had the chance to first try, you know, with the pita bread and the hummus. As Sammy said, that thing is like frijoles y tortillas, you know what I'm saying? And it was just something that I was just like, I was starving, and I was like, yo, this is really good. Like, I've never had hummus like this that was really this fresh for me. I know some people have told me there's a spot here in Los Angeles. Let me know if you guys know of any others. But I know that it was brought to my attention. So as I think about this, they did offer other moments. All in all, I think the beauty of understanding the cultura of food, the cultura of just really tattoos and innovation and graffiti, and which we didn't even get a chance to touch on technology, the technology side of it alone. That would be a whole nother podcast that maybe down the road when we talk about, you know, how do we fuel innovation and creativity. That's not the final name of it, but maybe we can touch on some of that so you guys can see what has been done worldwide when we think about innovative thinkers and creators. But nonetheless, la cultura fue algo muy impresionante, pero más que todo, then it kind of comes to the faith. And for me, this was personal because I am a believer in God. I'm a believer in Jesus for me. And if there's any listeners that also, you know, are believers, I hope you guys can enjoy this next segment. Very small reflection segment around the faith. But I think for me, one of the eye-opening moments, because I am kind of a historical nerd when it comes to history, no matter if it's American world or in this case, even like Christian faith, Jewish, you know, Palestinians, let it be, you know, the Romans, anything involved in that nature. I want you guys to, you know, enjoy the next segment. So here we go.
Wow. So, what they've discovered was about 10% out of the ancient famous Siloam pool. The size of the original pool 2,000 years ago is the size of about two Olympic pools.
Wow.
And today, what is visible and what's accessible to tourists is about 10%. It's this side of the pool. Okay? I probably don't need to tell you why this pool is an important find, both for Jews and Christians, okay? One of the miracles of Jesus is performed there. And for Jews during the three high holidays, this was the place where most people, most pilgrims, purify themselves before going up to the temple. Now, if the pool is down here and the temple is up here, what should be connecting the two?
Road.
A street. Today, archaeologists are digging this 2,000-year-old pathway. It's not open to the public yet. It will be hopefully within a few months. That's an optimist forecast. Maybe a year or two, okay? The thing was, once they've done digging part of the pool down there, and they wanted to start digging up, they understood that digging the pathway, the street itself, it's gonna take a long time. It's gonna be very expensive, very complicated. And they really wanted some kind of way for tourists to go up as fast as possible. So what did they do? They found underneath the ancient street, the market, the promenade, they found a drainage system, which was filled with dirt. They said, hey guys, this drainage system is completely intact. We don't have to install supports. We just have to clean out the dirt and do it as quick as possible. In 2012, they finished cleaning out the dirt. okay? Tourists that finished, that started their tour here in the visitor center, went down through the underground tunnel that they ended here, could now go up through the drain system and come out here back to the visitor center.
Whoa. The drain center, was that
it
big
was underneath
around?
The street. It was this wide.
Oh.
It still is, but this high.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay. We're going to head into that.
Well, what an amazing find, right? So when we think about this, just outside of the south side of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, and we see it's, you know, kind of overseeing the city of David. Again, what the tour guide was telling us, here they are repairing this sewage pipe in the old city of Jerusalem. They discovered the biblical pool of Siloam, right? So reservoir of water that we know historically speaking from a faith aspect, it was an area that was a gathering for all the ancient Jews making those religious pilgrimage to the city, and where this site was, where, as we know, and he didn't say, but it's the story of where Jesus cured a man blind from birth, according to the Gospel of John. This, to me, was one of the highlights for me being in the city of David, just outside of Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem. And I think for me, it really, now, it's a video, so you guys don't understand the importance of this. So that system, that drainage system, again, it was about 6 feet high, and I want to say probably about 4 feet wide. So it was a very tight, you know, Marvin, one of our... one of the people that was on the journey in Israel, Marvin, shout out to you. He's well over 6 feet. You know, a couple of the guys actually had to duck and like basically crouch walk all the way up through this system that we actually had the opportunity. And it was really the uniqueness, kind of going back to this whole like innovation, technology. King Harold was like this architect. He believed in all these different things. And it was really cool to be able to say, like, yo, this guy, you know, as much as the issues that he had as a man and spiritually, this guy was a genius. Like, the way that he brought people together and thinkers and innovators to construct these systems in place for the city was very unique. So now where does that, you know, apply, you know, with my faith? I think it just showed that, one, he speaks of this pool only being 10% of it, because, again, the size of the pool would reach about two Olympic-sized pools, that this, you know, the Pool of Siloam. So, again, I was, for me, like, growing up, I was just like, yo, this is crazy, man. I remember the story of, you know, Jesus and the blind man, and here's this moment where these people found it. And I just think it's crazy that, going back to our first episode, that we look at how being in Israel, the Bible now becomes 4D. So when we were in there, mind you, we didn't get a chance to kind of go left. So you go left to go to the pool because we had to walk all the way down. So we go down these very sketchy stairs, and we finally get to the bottom, and to the left was the pool, and to the right was then where we wanted to walk up. And then we got to a certain point that we had a chance to kind of just really explain the purpose of the tunnel that was there, the drainage system. Which, again, I say this because of the fact that these moments were unique. These moments were moments that every time I went back to the hotel room, I sat, I reflected, I prayed, and I just say, yo, this ultimate journey of being able to come in and understand why I'm here, but more importantly, to be able to see, like, yo, like, God, this is real. And it really made me feel different. And I think a lot of times it's because there are challenges and there are many views. And even being in the city of Bethlehem, I never had a chance to share some videos on that. But here we are in the city of Bethlehem where, you know, David was born. But then, you know, his quote-unquote political city was Jerusalem as a king. And I just think it's like, yo, it's crazy because in Bethlehem is like, it's Muslims, like, it's, I think it's like less than 10%, 12% that are Christians that live in Bethlehem. It was just unique because I didn't get a chance to share this. And now I know Raj shared about this, that when we think about Jesus and we think about the moment of like this opportunity to hear it. And I remember that there was this guy, a pastor who's Palestinian in the city of Bethlehem. We are in an actual church. So just imagine we are in an actual church prior to going into Bethlehem. So just imagine you're on a tour bus, you're reaching the moment that you're about to go into the city. Our tour guide jumps off because he's Jewish. He jumps off, and then we have a Palestinian jump on the bus, and then he now is our tour guide, which, you know, God bless his soul. I think he didn't know that we believed in God, and he was literally trying to give us the gospel, but hey, we appreciate you. I think his name was David. He was an amazing guy. And it was interesting because we were like, yo, why did Yoav jump off? Yoav was our tour guide throughout the whole trip. And they were like, well, he's Jewish and they don't allow it. Like, you know, again, it's just a very sensitive thing. And when we speak to, you know, this Palestinian pastor, he talks about how when Israel's strong, the church is strong. But he's very honest in showing that Israel's not perfect, that the military is not perfect, the politics is not perfect. And we know that. Even in the climate that we're in today, we know that our country isn't perfect. No country is perfect. And I thought it was just very interesting because he speaks of the opportunity to be able to say, like, hey, in a moment where we can either force, right, the word, or we can just showcase it in how we serve others. And I think for me, it was very cool to hear a Palestinian in Bethlehem share about moments where they helped other Palestinians and helped other Jewish people that went through some hard struggles, and to be able to feed them, to be able to give them medical attention, and just to be there for them. But mind you, all in this like very climactic, you know, climate of like hostility of just like, yo, here's a nation where we have, you know, the Jews that, you know, believe in God, the Palestinians, you know, like everyone has their thing. And then on top of that, you guys think about all these other people from around the world of all different religious backgrounds and non-religious that are coming to like the Mecca, right? And I think for me, it was just like, yo, this is crazy, God. Like, you're so good. Sometimes I still don't understand how you journey with each and every one of us that we can be able to come together in one of these small nations in the world to be able to get to know you a little bit more, to be able to see it, smell it, and touch it. I think that's something that I will never forget. To be able to say, like, yo, I'm walking, but I'm also learning from a lot of different leaders and teachers. And I want to give a shout out again to Israel Collective, because in my faith, I had the opportunity to be able to verify some moments. And, you know, we had a chance to sit down with a rabbi in Jerusalem, and this was like the night of Shabbat. So we're there, and again, you know, the Jewish people, as they say, Shabbat Shalom, and we're sitting on the top of the roof of this rabbi, and he's breaking it down. And mind you, I'm gonna post a video so you guys can see on Instagram his library. His library was unreal for the amount of space that he had, which was a lack of the insight, the education. And he talks about Aramaic, he talks about, you know, Catholicism, he talks about Christians, he talks about, you know, all these different perspectives, but how they all come together there in the city of Jerusalem. I think that's a pretty cool perspective to know. And even though I know he may not believe in Jesus, the mere fact that he recognizes and respects it, I think for me is very, 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 very cool. So that's kind of like my small reflection on faith. Really, the highlight was that tunnel in the pool of Siloam that really got me. Because that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is really the story of Jesus healing the blind man. And I think a lot of times in life, we are blind to the career that we want, or we're blinded to the relationship that we're seeking, or we're blinded to whatever it is that you're passionate about. And a lot of times I ask myself, man, am I just blind to what God has called me to do, that I need to have this moment with Jesus that cures me of my blindness for what he did on the cross, that allows me to see the purpose and the given talents that has been given to me to be able to fulfill them? And that's my challenge for each and every one of you guys, is that believing in God or not, I want you guys to know that if you feel that you've been blinded by the chaos, blinded by whatever things that are going on around you, just like I can hear a plane in the background as I'm talking to you guys, which is crazy that this mic can pick that up, but we are close to an airport. I think is what's interesting for me is understanding that many times we can be in these blind spots, but just know, as I had the opportunity to find out firsthand, that Jesus actually can cure me and you and everyone else, if we actually are willing to have that encounter. So that was a reflection for me, and I guess we segue to the final thought, and that's giving a shout out to my boy Junior, aka Zomniac. conexiones, connections, networking. How does that look like? What do we want to attain? We only had one actual pillar guest. So for those that don't know, I try to work it in sets of two, meaning we will have kind of like two topics around the pillar of cultura. In the case of like my experience in Israel, we would have then two talking points or episodes or shows around faith. And then ideally, we then have some unique conversation in context of like what it means to network. And I think for me, when I look back at the episode with our, which let me tell you guys, this has been our number one show or episode. And I highly suggest if you guys haven't had the chance to check it out, tune into that one. It's our guest, Zombiak. He oversees, I mean, the dude's super talented. I mean, aside from being an amazing graphic artist and artist in general, he also understands what it means to have a merch line, photography, and he created this new company called Legendary Minds and so many more projects that are coming down the line where he believes in the indie artists and how do we empower them? How do we give them the platform that they need to be able to share? And not only that, but he also believes in community. So as I look back, and I really want to just go outside and cut these chords of the chimes, but maybe it gives you some guys some background music. But the door's closed and you can still hear the chimes, but it's all good. I think what's really cool is that the importance of why I believe in networking with other people is because you get the opportunity to be able to learn some different angles of how to be able to play the game, but more importantly, learn the game and win the game and then teach the game. And that was really why I wanted to invite Junior, because he spoke about the importance of like seeing, for example, his uncle and his brother that he looks up to them as inspirational because of what they've done. And, you know, he talks about, you know, building this network of like helping a particular artist, Angie Rose, I think it was, if I'm correct, yes, where he builds his brand and platform in helping her be able to elevate, you know, who she is and what her purpose is. And where it was actually then that they go to Puerto Rico. And it was interesting because he said it was so cool that they went there to, well, he went there first and foremost to be able to document everything. But little did he know that it was actually going to impact him because of the fact that although that the island had went through Hurricane Maria at the time, as he alluded to, there was a lot of winds, there was a lot of smiles, and there was moments where they never expected the people to give them more to them than what they gave originally, from their team to the Puerto Rican people. And I think that's very important to know. I think a lot of times when we go to certain events, we go to certain conferences, or we go to, you know, certain moments that we're going to celebrate, the big part is that we want to be able to go learn and grow. We want to check out. We want to be able to, you know, connect with others, reconnect, right? If we're seeing some we haven't seen in a while. But I think what this whole pandemic has taught us is that sometimes you don't have to be physically there, that just a phone call where you hear the voice, being able to jump on a Zoom call or FaceTime call, that there's some power in just words. And I think for me, that was what really resonated for me, that Junior just spoke about conversations. He spoke about moments of being able to listen and then talk. And he spoke about, you know, the humble artist that, you know, rest in peace, Ron, a.k.a. DJ Effecto, a man that was so creative for, as a chef, as a photographer, and, you know, master just on, you know, the turntables as a DJ and a producer. And it was him that really pushed him to do what he's doing today. And I think that a lot of times it's like it's in the, you know, I think we spoke about like, you know how there's always somebody that, you know, in your inner circle, they're like that silent, the silent killer kind of a thing where it's like the sniper and they just snipe you and you don't even see them or hear them. But when they do, it makes an impact. So my question for you guys is, in all of this pandemic and all of this stuff that has been going on around the world, especially in our country, and as we're looking to venture into new things, because now we feel that this is the time to try it, or maybe we said, no, let me refine, let me regroup, and let me go forward. I think the beauty of this is that we see that this pandemic has taught us that, yo, we need to stay connected, be intentional, but always remember, and this is something that I always speak about, be as genuine, be as authentic, and be as relational of who you are to all people that you connect with. And I think if we do that, it would not only give us more insight and growth, but it would also be able to build a bigger community. And I think that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's how do you build a community around you as you fuel your passion in life? But my challenge to you is to be able to fuel or to be able to maybe spark the fire within someone or people so they can be able to fulfill their purpose and their calling. So that's kind of like what I wanted to share overall as a show. And oye, la verdad, les quiero decir muchas gracias, le agradezco. We just want to say thank you. We are truly, truly appreciated for all that you guys have done on this first season. And I hope you guys, if you guys haven't had a chance to check out any of the other episodes, please, in the next few weeks, take a look, take a listen. And if you guys like what you hear, please rate us. If you guys love or hate it, let me know. Let me know. You can email us at Fuel Pasión Podcast. Again, Pasión is with one S, and it would be at gmail.com. Once again, Fuel Pasión Podcast at gmail.com. My name is Noan El Boricua. I am your host of Fuel Pasión Podcast, where it's all about the cultura, the faith, and the conexiones. And we're really, really excited that in the next few weeks, we kick off season two. So with that being said, we want to say thank you. And as in the great, 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 great legendary coach, the coach John Thompson of the legendary Georgetown Hoyas men's basketball team, he, as many know or you may not know, had passed away. And I want to give you guys esta última palabra, this last word, which really is quoting the coach John Thompson that said, don't let the sum total of your existence be 8 to 10 pounds of air. And really, it, one of his most famous quotes, right, as he often repeated it to players and staff, those that follow NCAA basketball. And it was during the year of 2012 that he elaborated on this, right? And again, quote, he says, the saying on that wall is that 10 pounds of air in a basketball should not be your sum total. We said that a lot about your experience in the game because your life is useless if the only significance as a ball player and an athlete is 10 pounds of air in a basketball. I will tell the kids all the time that if they let all the air out of all the basketballs in the world and you had no value, how significant is your life? End quote. And I think what really brought my attention in that is it's true. And I think that's what really he prided himself on, was not just creating great basketball players for the world, but to be able to create amazing men, intelligent men, educated men that have come from a lot of really bad situations, but that they would not just allow a ball and a rim to define who they are as a man in this world. And with that being said, I hope that you don't allow yourself to be defined to whatever limitations that may be put upon you, but know that you have a greater calling, a bigger calling, and that's what we're here to do. We want to be able to fuel your pasión. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as my grandmother always used to say, mi abuelita, que Dios te bendiga. We're out.